Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. Achieving my long-term goals is more about creating healthy habits and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love both intermittent fasting and daily harvest. Tim Spector, a gut health expert and founder of Zoe, and Dr. B, gastroenterologist and author of Fiberfueled, recommend that you aim for at least 30 unique plant foods per week. Daily Harvest helps make it easy. One of my favorite options is the sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of weird ingredients such as fillers, seed oils, and added sugars. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 399 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Kim Wareham. Kim lives in Lee's Summit, Missouri, and she is a legal office coordinator. Welcome, Kim.
Hello.
It's so nice to talk to you today. And you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting, and when was that?
Well, I am terrible with dates, and so I had to go back and actually look. I knew I'd bought Delay, Don't Deny, and I found it in my Amazon list from 2019, and I'm more of an emotional memory person. Like, mm-hmm. I can't go back and remember dates from, you know, when I was 12, this is what happened. But I remembered when I hit puberty and how that was.
Yeah. Like, and, do you remember, you know, things based on, like, what outfit you were wearing that day? Because yeah, I do.
Yes. That kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. So 2019.
I remember sitting in the parking lot of, I was waiting for my kids to come out of school, and I was in the parking lot reading, and I just remember reading it thinking, oh my gosh, this is it. This is the answer to all my problems. Like, I just knew when I read it. I was familiar with fasting because I'm Catholic, and so fasting is a natural part of my faith, but I never thought of it in terms of weight loss.
Like, or just, health probably.
Or health even, other right. than, you know, spiritual health, but yeah. never in terms of weight loss or anything like that. But as soon as I read your book, I just knew that was going to be it. Although at the time, you know, in my enthusiasm, I didn't stop to think about, you know, all the other stuff that I would dredge up. Like, we just carry around so much baggage.
Oh, we do.
And that for most of us starts in our youth. you know, when we're young, and you just carry it along, and that you got to lose that weight too.
So. That's powerful right there. I'm going to stop and emphasize that. And so many people start fasting, like you and I did, for the weight loss. We came for the weight loss, right? That sounded great. And we stick around for, of course, the health benefits and everything else that it brings, but it forces us to dig into that baggage in ways we weren't expecting.
Absolutely.
Because of the pause.
Absolutely. And I've got two teenage daughters, and, you know, I mean, I think no matter how much you want to be a perfect parent and you don't want to put off your issues onto them, like, you, no matter what, they pick it up too, to some degree.
Right.
Now, it's not exactly the same baggage.
And how old were they?
I have one daughter who's going to be 18 at the end of this 18. Month, and one who'll be 17 in August. So she's 16 and a half. And so they're right at that age. And so for me, the biggest thing was, I don't want my stuff to be part of their baggage. They'll have their own. But I'll pile on them inadvertently.
It's true. And you don't even realize you're doing it. But, you know, you found intermittent fasting like 5 years ago. So they were 13 and what is that? 12,
like 11,
11, 11 to 12. So I think that's great because they were able to see you model different kind of behavior during their real formative years when they're, you know, developing into the the ladies, well, the women that they are becoming.
And I got to tell you, I didn't like drop a lot of weight. I'm not one of those people that found intermittent fasting and then ta-da, you know, now I'm thin and everything's perfect. It's been a bumpy road for me because I think a lot of my weight gain came from emotional type things. Mm-hmm. You know, you grow up, it's been an issue for as long as I can remember emotionally. Even before I weighed more than I should, I felt like I weighed more than I should. And so many of us come from.
Let's go all the way back then. So you remember from childhood then feeling like you were an emotional eater, and how, from what age do you kind of have those memories?
Well, I was thin in elementary school. Like, I don't even remember weight being a topic of conversation, other than my dad made one comment when we had a babysitter who lived across the street, and she was coming over, and I remember him saying something about her. It was winter, and he said something about her not needing to wear a coat because she had extra weight that kept her warm.
Wow.
And at the time, when your parents say things, you just think, first of all, my dad knew everything at that age. And so my first thought was, wow, is that really a thing? Is that really a thing? You just gain weight and you don't need a coat?
And poor dad, he wasn't thinking about what he was saying. But isn't it just like the fact that that comment stuck with you and you remember it?
Did.
He just made that comment. He wasn't even thinking. Wow.
No, he wasn't.
And what we say is so important.
It really is. And I think I didn't ever want any of this to turn into some, sob story. But, you know, those things do sink in. So when I hit puberty, I was the oldest grandchild on both sides of my family. And so the oldest girl, both sides, there were no boys until way down the line. But so I was always thin. Well, then you hit puberty and you kind of do that weird, you grow out a little before you hit a growth spurt thing.
Yeah.
And I remember looking back at a picture of myself thinking, whoo, like my stomach is kind of sticking out there. That's not normal. I don't remember that being there. When did that happen? And then, you know, your parents, because they love you, they want you to be healthy. And so they say things about, well, maybe you shouldn't eat, you know, so much sweets. Maybe you need to cut back on that. And so it just starts that cycle, you know. And when you're a kid, you want to eat all the sweets and you want to eat the stuff your friends are having. And so you sneak it and you have it in private with your friends where no one's going to say anything, you know, and that habit forms and it carries through you. It's like shame eating or something, you know, you don't want to eat it where people are going to see you. So you eat it where no one's looking.
That's so interesting. And it just made me think, you're right. Hiding, whenever you have to hide that you're eating something, it feels like shameful eating and it kind of messes up your brain. Like I was just thinking about for myself, you know, I had, you know, my parents were divorced. when I was with my mother, it was like, get whatever you want at any time, free to eat it, snacking whenever, no big deal. I ate a snack if I wanted to. But at my dad's, it wasn't like that. Like, we were not supposed to go into the fridge and get snacks if it wasn't mealtime. We were not supposed to snack between meals. So I can remember being there over the summer and like sneaking a piece of cheese, the wrapped up kind, you know what I mean, with the little pat wrapping, but knowing I wasn't supposed to be eating it. Like, that is a vivid memory for me of, I better sneak this cheese and hide the cheese and eat it in secret. Mm-hmm. And it just felt bad, right? So we don't want our kids to have any kind of sneak eating at all.
No.
Yeah.
You really don't. And you know what? And my kids still sometimes do it. I find candy wrappers in bedrooms. And mm-hmm. I think it just is almost an unavoidable thing. And I don't know if it's a societal thing or if it's an inadvertently saying something. I mean, maybe I said something to my own children, but
yeah,
like my dad. I mean, I don't think I said that because I feel like I'm probably the polar opposite of
right.
Those kinds of things. Like, my mom weighs 85 pounds and she's not quite 5 feet tall. She's very, very small.
She's a tiny little thing.
She's teeny tiny.
I can put her in my pocket.
Yes. She's very small. She's never had to deal with any kind of weight issue at all. Her sisters were more full figured. They weren't heavy, but they were fuller. And so I remember my mom saying things to me like, well, you're just going to be more full figured. You know, you're just going to be more full figured. And at that time, you hear full figured, and you think, what does that mean exactly?
Do I want to be full figured?
I don't know that I want to be that, you know?
Right.
But she's got then the same, she's got other problems, like trying to find shoes and clothes. And so people will make comments to her about, you need to eat more and you need to, you know, put on some weight. I mean, we have spent all this time in our world making comments about other people's bodies.
And like, she's not trying, she's like not like forcing her body to be under 5 feet and 85 pounds, right? Her body naturally does that. The way she eats supports it.
Yep.
And she's not like restricting on purpose.
Yeah. No. And in fact, when she went through menopause, which I didn't even realize until you started talking about, you know, in your episodes and things about hormones and hormone replacement and diabetes and the things that come along with menopause. When she hit menopause, she started struggling with glucose and insulin control. And so she has to watch her carbs. And she's a very small person. And she has to watch her diet to not have to take a bunch of medication. You know?
It's not just weight that happens when you have weird blood sugar control. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Her father was diabetic, but she was up until that point, she could eat whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted, and there was negligible changes in her body at all. And so as I grew up and I filled out, you know, it's hard to go shopping with someone who is, when you're a teenager and you're wearing a 6'8" and your mom wears a, you know, -3.
She's in the children's department, right? I bet she buys a lot of clothes. That's a money savings.
Shoes. I mean, I feel so bad for her when she wants to buy shoes. She has to go to the kids department. And
she does. Yeah.
Trying to find shoes that look like adult shoes in the kids department is not always easy.
No, I didn't think about that. I was just thinking about how much cheaper it would be, but you're right. Those clothes are not. No. Oh, well.
Yeah. So that was, I mean, those kinds of things growing up, that was a lot of it for me was, you know, you compare yourself to your mother and I just internalized everything. And I really didn't have a weight problem. You look back at pictures. I look back at pictures of myself when I was a teenager and I'm like, I wish I still looked like that.
Right.
I still wish I had that body. What the heck? You know? But anyway, I got to college and put on the freshman 15. And a lot of that came from, I was never rebellious in school. In high school, I never did anything rebellious. And, you know, that changed when I got to college.
Well, now I want to hear all about that.
Parties with friends and, sure, I'll have that beer. Why not?
It would be a lot more rebellious not to have done it, right? When did you go to college? What years were you in college?
I started college. I graduated in 1992.
Okay.
And got to my fourth year of college. And all my friends, I could never really figure out what I wanted to do. Like, I tried this and tried that and I'll do this and never, I never ended up finishing college because I just couldn't pick anything. And all my friends were graduating and it got to be depressing. And so I really, at that time of my life, was struggling a lot. Mm-hmm. I put on quite a bit of weight and struggled with probably with quite a bit of depression at that time too. And so I moved back home with my parents. And I mean, who wants to be, you know, 22, 23, living at home with their parents? At that time, that was not common. But I only was there for a little while and got an apartment and then was back out on my own and still not making great food choices. But I got back into exercise. I was always in dance growing up, and I actually taught an aerobics class in high school. And so I was always real active until college, and I didn't do any kind of activity in college. And so that probably contributed to it. I always felt like I stayed healthier. And even now, I feel like exercise is a good part of weight loss for me. It's kind of a necessity for my body. And so I tried all the gadgets. I had the, what was that? Susan Summers Thighmaster.
I was just thinking that. I was like, I bet she's going to say Thighmaster. Yeah.
Had the Thighmaster.
Yeah.
Had a health rider. Did you ever have one of those?
Did it go up and down like you're riding a horse?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't have one, but I remember like riding one at somewhere. I don't know where I was, but it went up and down like you're riding a horse. And yes.
Yep. And I don't know why I'd see these things like that infomercials with the, what was that guy's name? Tony somebody or other with the long blonde hair. And he sold every exercise thing under the sun. And every one of them I thought I had to have, but I didn't use them. Like they're terrible.
I would buy so many things, then I would get rid of them. Until now, I've got my vibration plate. I've got my rebounder. That's it. I've kept them for years. They are here to stay. But I've had multiple exercise bikes, including a recumbent one. Is that how you say it? You lean back more on it. It's got a bigger seat. And and they would just, you'd use them to store clothes, right? Clothes hanger in the bedroom.
Yeah, or show your friends when they come over, like you're really exercising. Look at my equipment. I had Tybo. I went through a Tybo phase. That was that exercise Billy Blanks, the videos where you're like kickboxing and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, my first apartment that I lived in, the air conditioning had gone out, and I was in my living room doing Tybo, and I was sweating so much, I passed out. Like, I fell down, passed out, popped back up, and was like, oh, my God. Dangers of Tybo. I think that was my last Tyboing day.
You're like, all right, I'm done with it. Okay, any exercise plan that makes you pass out is probably not the – and it's definitely not something Jen is doing.
So I've always added exercise in.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES. Promo code IFSTORIES10. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study.
As far as diet plans, I went through, when I hit about 30, I had met my first husband and got into this program called Slim for Life. And that was like, you'd go to their center and they would, the first time I did it, there weren't a lot of supplements or anything like that. You'd weigh in and they'd, you know, the first 3 days you'd eat all the green vegetables and red meat you could possibly eat. 3 days of that, which, you know, not great, but you think I can grit through anything. Like, that's one thing for me. I'm like, I can eat, you give me a supplement and I will take it. If it is going to do what I need it to do.
And here's what's funny. We like meat. We like green vegetables. But suddenly, if you must eat as much as you can eat and that is it, you're like, now I hate red meat and now I hate green vegetables.
Yeah. It's so weird. But anyway, I did that and I was successful. So you'd go in and then they'd say, you know, you eat half an orange and basically it was counting macros probably.
Was it like a rotational, like one day was this, one day was that? It was like very prescriptive.
They give you a list of foods. And so you could pick from these breads and you could pick from this meat and you could pick, you know, it worked. I mean, I lost probably about 30 pounds at that time. I've been terrible about weighing. Like, it just was not my thing, but I hit 192 pounds. And I am a little over 5'2". And so that was a lot. And I remember seeing that number and being in shock. Like, I knew I'd gained quite a bit of weight and I didn't feel good in my body. And so I don't know if I stepped on a scale at that time or if I just went to Slim for Life and stepped on the scale and was like, oh my God, you know, but I lost about 30 pounds and I felt great. I mean, I was probably 172, 170 pounds. And that's still, for someone my height, not what someone would call ideal, but I looked good in pictures. Like, I didn't feel bad about myself. And maybe it was just because I'd lost quite a bit of weight and it was better than I'd been in a while. But I got married and had kids, started having kids. And when I got pregnant with my oldest daughter, Nora, I probably put on the 30 pounds that I lost, but I felt so good being pregnant. It was nice to, it's like you have the freedom to eat what you want and nobody judges you. Like, it's the one time in my life I felt like nobody was going to say, well, you know, you shouldn't eat that. You know, you don't get that judgy look. Like, I remember growing up and going and seeing my great grandmother, who, bless her heart, she was probably nearly blind, but leaning over to hug her and having her say, oh, your arms are getting awfully big. Like, what is it with old people just thinking they can make comments about your body? Please, God, do not let me be an old person who comments about younger people's
bodies.
You've
lost your filter. I don't know. Yes. She held it in for 80 years and now she can't anymore.
I guess that's what it is. It's just weird. It's weird. People just will randomly just tell you, like, I have an aunt and I love her very much, but I saw her, oh, it's been about 8 months ago, maybe not even quite that long ago. And she goes, every time I see you, you just look better and better. Now, you know, I lost weight by doing da-da-da-da. I'm like,
Thank you.
Like, I love you. I'm just going to stand here and let you tell me all the things you did. And then I'm going to walk away and try not to have my eyeballs stick back in my head when I roll my eyes. It's just weird. Like, I just don't understand it. But anyway, I'm not sure.
So you had Nora.
I had Nora. And about 16 months later, I had my younger daughter, Hannah. And I put on probably about the same amount of weight. I feel like I don't even know how much weight I lost between them because I was busy being mom. My ex-husband was not a great husband. And we won't go into those details. But I was more focused on raising my kids at that time. And then after I had Hannah, it wasn't long after that I no longer had the bad husband.
Right. Well, hooray for the freedom of you and the girls.
My family was not sad to see him move on.
Well, when your family is not sad, that's also how you really know.
Exactly. No one was sad. I don't recall anyone saying, gosh, I'm so sad to see him go.
I'm so surprised that didn't work out. Right. No one said that.
Well, I kind of feel like there was a whole period of my life where I kind of feel like I look back and I'm like, who was that person?
Right.
Like, who was that? I felt like I was invaded by aliens. Like, it's just mm-hmm. one chunk of my life that I'm like, I don't know who I was then.
Yeah.
So weird.
And you know what, though? That makes a lot of sense. We change so much over time and we adapt to where we are. And so you can really be a different person around other people to try to fit into a mold. I would bet you were trying to fit into a mold to be with him that was not really you.
Sure. Well, yeah. And I was getting older and I really wanted to be married. I mean, I was so worried. I hardly dated. That was just not my life. I was shy. And mm-hmm. and so when I met him and he liked me for my fullness, you know, I was not a thin person at that time. And I thought, oh, he really loves me for me. Well, really, he just needed someone to provide for him. But anyway.
Right. No, I get it. On. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was an important part of the story. So you got divorced and two young girls.
I got divorced and I had two little girls and I started jazzercising, which I love and people think is hilarious. But I got to tell you, it's the best exercise in the world. It's
so fun. I think I would love it. I've never done it for whatever reason. I guess I've never been anywhere where it was like right there and I could do it. But I think I would like to, because I liked jazz dance. My mother taught jazz as part of her dance studio. So I think I would like it.
Absolutely. It will flash you back to your youth. You will get in there and you can jazz hand as much as you like.
Woo!
And you can chasse. And you can kickball, changeball, change. And you can do all of those things.
That does sound fun.
And you get to do some weights, so there's weight bearing exercises too, which I think as we get older is super important.
Definitely.
So, it's a good balance of that. So for anyone out there, try some jazzercise. You'll love it.
I wonder if there's anywhere near me that has it. Like, are people
I don't
still,
know.
They're still
doing
it?
I can look on my app and let you know.
Oh, it's like the jazzercise app?
There is an app. Yes, there is.
I might look it up. I did just start going to Pilates, Kim. Again,
you?
You'll be proud of me. Reformer Pilates. Yeah. Yep. So, because I know I've got to be
great.
More active.
That's great, too.
I thought I did it last Friday. I had a private lesson and the instructor, taught me through it the whole time. And I was like, this is nothing. This is nothing. I didn't do anything. And then the next day, I was like, oh my God.
Somebody tell me off this toilet.
What are those muscles? Right. So I was like, okay, I'm definitely, let's just say it reached muscles, the rebounder and vibration plate didn't reach or walking.
Yeah.
So anyway, but jazzercise.
Well, anything we do to move. Yeah. Anything we do to move our bodies is good. I mean, you got to use it or lose it. Like,
I think so.
It doesn't have to be, you don't have to kill yourself, but you got to get up and move around. You know, when a rot in your seat on the couch, like that's just not good.
Exactly. So you were active all throughout that phase.
I got more active. I lost some weight. I was feeling pretty good. And then I met my current husband, who I did not kick down the road.
Yay.
He actually has adopted my kids. And so things really worked out. You know, it's when you look back and you wonder why things happen. And then you go, oh, you know, that's why.
Yeah.
That's why. It worked out just fine. But along with the happy, happy life I had, I then also started happily eating and put on some more fluff and got back up. I think my high weight, I know it was over 200 pounds. I know I remember seeing 205 on the scale. I finally broke down and bought a scale. Actually, the first scale I had was one from my grandmother because, you know, I collect everything that my family no longer wants. When people pass away, I go, oh, sure, I'll take that. Oh, sure. Okay, I'll take that really old scale. Why not? Bring that over. So I had this, you know, heavy old-time scale, and I remember stepping on it and watching the little number swing past the 100 and then swing past, you know, where you go, ooh, that is not what I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I got weight in doctor's offices, but I don't ever remember anybody saying anything to me about losing weight, which I guess is good because you assume your doctor will tell you, but my numbers have always been healthy and maybe they just assumed that was, you know, your numbers are fine. So anyway, I hit probably 205, but I'm sure I got a little heavier than that. And that was finally like, I've got to do something.
Right.
And I was working at the time for an employer who had, have you ever heard of Naturally Slim? They offered
that. I don't know.
That.
What is it?
Well, it's, I just remember watching the videos. So you get it. They gave us a little like a Garmin thing to track our steps, but you would really take stock of your food, and you would sniff everything, and you would like, I remember like licking chips before I eat them. They really wanted you to fully taste the food.
The sensory. You're going to have all of your senses.
Yes. Yes. You're going to eat with your eyes, and then you're going to smell it, and then you're going to lick it. We're licking a chip thinking, this is not normal, and I'm not doing it in public.
That's hilarious. I did lick a chip before, like when I was trying to diet at some point and Chad was next to me eating tortillas. And I was like, well, I can't eat a tortilla right now, but I could lick a chip. So I did. Yeah, that was a long time ago. A long time ago. So that's my food licking.
I licked the chips. but that didn't last long. Like none of my forays into dieting ever really stuck. Like it just,
and I'm going to say the licking didn't stick with you as a habit.
No, none of it did. I thought about going back. I was going to go back to Slim for Life, and it was really expensive. Like the cost had gone through the roof, and they were adding all these supplements, and you have to, they wouldn't guarantee
that's where the money is.
Buying these drinks and buying these snacks. And I just was like, oh, forget it. I've got kids. I'm not paying all that money for junk. I'll just go to the grocery store and buy granola bars and vitamins and
buy your own snacks.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I will get skinny eating all these snacks and taking vitamin C and I mean, I could not kidding. If somebody said, if you drink this green drink every day, I don't care how bad it tastes. If I would drink it every day.
Right.
If that was going to do what I needed it to do. But if somebody said you have to count all these calories, I tried that too with MyFitnessPal, you know, enter everything in. Yeah, I did try another thing. It was, if it fits in your macros, it was a group I found on Facebook.
Yeah. People would always abbreviate it. IIFYM. Yeah, because people would come into my Facebook groups back in the day, and they would be like, I'm doing IIFYM.
Yeah, it was okay. Too. Yeah. Well, and I mean, and it sounded great. Like, you know, you think you eat whatever you want. You just have to count these macros until you buy the scale and you're like weighing your food. Like, I just am not going to do that very long. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. But I did.
And Sherry and I were talking about this yesterday when we recorded Fast Feast Repeat yesterday. We were talking about that exact same thing about macros, because macros do not equal food quality. You could have, you know, the example we talked about was like a baked potato with butter compared to potato chips, and craft it so that they had the same macros. But is it the same experience inside your body? No. So
no, I mean, I was eating two Oreos after dinner.
Did that fit your macros? Yeah.
Hit my macros. Got to have some cheese. Got to have little Oreos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
not a whole lot of vegetables in sight for me, because that's not, I didn't have to have them. I mean, I don't dislike vegetables, but you know, Oreos, cheese, broccoli. Like,
When I was counting whatever it was I was counting at the time, calories, fat grams in the 90s, counting carbs throughout all those experiences with that, counting both when I was doing Suzanne Summers and, you know, swapped it up. Did you ever do her plan?
I didn't. The heart doctor one though.
Okay. Her plan was you kept it separated. Like you could have either a low carb meal or a carb meal, but you didn't mix them together. You didn't have your carbs and your fat at the same time. But whenever I was counting things of any kind, it always led me to worse eating looking back, because it led you to the Oreos because it fit your macros, or for me, the snack wells or whatever it was, the product foods anyway.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, if you're someone who, like me, is an emotional eater, like my whole goal is not I feel like I've spent so long, much of my life focused on what my body looks like, what people think of my body when they see me, what people are thinking when I'm eating food, what am I going to eat? When am I going to eat? You know, I mean, so much of my emotional energy was put into all of that. And so for me, none of that worked. Like, I think that's why fasting was so freeing, was that I didn't have to focus anymore on, you know, how much does this piece of meat weigh? And can I only have two Oreos? Now, I've not gotten to the point yet where I have had a whole lot of appetite correction, in that I still really like Oreo cookies. I just don't buy them very often.
Right.
And I still really, really like cheese. Like, there's just things that I gravitate toward, but I'm eating more vegetables and I'm focusing more on fiber. I feel like that's a That's a big one. I haven't read Fiber Fueled yet, but I'm putting it on my list. And so in that way, I'm more aware and I pay more attention now to what I'm eating in my window, but I still have pizza. Like I still have the things that someone else would be sad, crying, not eating because it doesn't fit in their macros.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I kind of want to get in one of those groups and wave my pizza around.
Does this fit your macros?
Watch this. Eat it all.
Yeah, I just, you know, you've heard me talk all, you know, my whole ups and downs, my recent foray into diet brain, but I really never want to counter restrict again. And I just don't. And I don't want to ever feel like I'm restricting.
Yeah, I don't want my life to be that. There's so much more to think about in the world than the size of my pants. I mean, not that it doesn't matter, but I just want to get to the point where that is not most of my brain space is taken up with is, you know, clothing size and weight on a scale and all of that. I just want to be free of it. And I don't want to carry it on to my children.
Yeah. And thinking, you know, can I eat this and can I eat that? That's just like having to look at a menu before you go to a restaurant to see if there's anything you can have.
Yeah. I just read menus for fun.
Me too. We're going out to eat tonight to one of my favorite places, and I'm so excited. So
Excellent.
I might read the menu after we talk.
Hey.
For fun.
We should, I know. And pick out what you're going to eat, not what you can or can't have.
I could eat any of it. What do I want? Exactly.
That's exactly right.
I'll probably have some she-crab soup. I'm going to go ahead and claim that.
Very good.
So you found fasting in 2019, reading Delayed on Denying in the parking lot. Tell me how you started.
I really used to like creamy coffee, but like I said, if somebody tells me specifically what I can and can't do, I will drink bitter coffee. I don't care. That's fine. I will drink it and I may not like it, but if it's good for me and it's going to work, I'm going to drink it. And so that was kind of the first thing for me was taking the cream out of my coffee. And I'm also a kind of jump in with both feet kind of person. So I probably started at 18 hours. I mean, I didn't really keep track of, like, I wish I'd written everything down. I didn't weigh myself to begin with. I didn't take measurements. I didn't do any of that. But I did get very enthusiastic and I started telling everyone I knew about it, my family, my husband, you know, I wanted everyone to be just as excited. No one seemed to be as excited about it as I was. And I didn't drop a lot of weight right away, but I did feel better. I started feeling better. I felt less fluffy in my clothing. And so for me, that was really good. But I'm at the core of things, I'm still an emotional eater. And so I think because of that, I was still not making great food choices in my eating window, even though I was still, you know, fasting 18 hours a day. Now at this point in my life, I went through a phase of 75 hard. I got to day 61 and I
That's
really
impressive.
Liked it. You know what? And I just missed it on the water. If I just wasn't I woke up the next day and there was like half a cup of water left in my glass. And that group is hardcore. If you follow that group.
How much water are you supposed to have?
It was supposed to be a gallon of water a day. And it was in the summer when I did it.
My issue with that is you can overdo water if you're forcing it. And I know that that people don't like to think about that, but especially if you're fasting, your body doesn't need as much water coming in during the fast. That doesn't mean, you know, you should be dry fasting. I'm not saying that, but a lot of the water that we need is our body processing our food. So we do need to maybe drink a little more while we're eating, but we do not need as much water while we're fasting. And I talked about this in Fast, Feast, Repeat, and it, you know, will wash out your electrolytes. And, you know, all the time you'll hear of someone who like was running a race or something and they died from water toxicity because they drank too much water. So anyway, that's the part about 75 hard that like actually scares me for people who are also doing fasting with it, because that could actually be dangerous. Not just like it's hard, but anyway, I had to toss that in there because sometimes you just don't need that much water.
Sure. I did extend my window because you have to exercise. You're supposed to exercise twice a day. And one of your exercise workouts is supposed to be outside, and it was in the summer. And so I would have, now I fast generally 20 hours a day, 19 to 20. But when I was doing that program, I was only doing 18. I was doing an 18-6 so that I had enough time to eat and I was getting enough food, because twice a day of exercise, that's a lot of exercise.
And outside in the summer, you do need more water when you're outside exercising in the summer.
Yeah, yeah. But it did help kind of spur the weight loss for me. So at the beginning of that, I really was starting to focus more on my fasting. Like, it just kind of went in waves for me. I never really fully committed. I never didn't not fast, but I just didn't think about it a lot. I wasn't focusing on it. I think the freedom of it was really great, but I think I didn't dial in food choices and take that into account. I really took that eat whatever you want in your eating window very literally.
Right.
And so when I started 75 Hard, that propelled me into, I need to really dial this in better and make better choices. And so I'm not giving that the credit for weight loss, but I did lose 30 pounds once I started that. And so I'm down to, which I can't believe I'm even going to say the number out loud because I'm still not excited, but I'm at about 172.
Okay.
And I would love to get down to, I mean, not maybe so much a weight size, but I would like to be a size 6. I feel like a size 6 for a 5'2" person is, that'd be good for me. That's about where I was in high school. All the weight loss drugs and things that have come out recently, you know, that kind of messes with your head a little bit too.
It does.
My sister did it, and she had never struggled with weight until, well, maybe not quite 10 years ago. She was pretty active too, but then she put some weight on and found out that she was in that pre-diabetes spot. And she's a nurse, and her doctor put her on, I think it was Wegovy, and she lost a lot of weight. Like, I see my sister regularly, and I remember I saw her, and then the next time I saw her, she was probably 30 pounds lighter. It was shocking how fast she lost weight. And I mean, she looks great. And there was a part of me that's like, well, she works in a doctor's office. I go to that same doctor. I could probably go in there and I could probably get on this stuff too. Sure I could. And then you read the horror stories and then you think
stomach paralysis, right?
Yeah,
that's stomach paralysis. That sounds awful. Anyway.
Yeah. And do I really want to give myself a shot once a week for the rest of my life? Like, do I really want to do that?
Yeah.
No. And if I quit doing it, what kind of weight loss will, I mean, what, how much weight will I gain? Like, that's right. Not going to be good.
Yeah.
And then I have another friend who went and had, her gastric bypass. She had great results. So like all around me, there's all these alternative weight loss things going on that have affected my head to some degree, but I'm just going to push through because I know this is the way to be healthy long-term.
You have to think about this. Okay. You're at 172 now. And I wrote that down from before when you lost weight with Slim for Life, you got down to 172 and you felt good.
Yeah.
In your body then. So it does sound like that is like a set point for your body. But think about this. Would you rather be 172 for the rest of your life with food freedom and healthy, or would you rather lose 30 more pounds with, you know, shots, or with now you've done gastric bypass and now your body is forever changed?
Yeah.
Or
for sure.
So those are the things those trade-offs, right? I think a healthy 172 is a better choice than an unhealthy 140.
Absolutely. It's for sure. You know, I would like to be happy at 172. My problem is I'm still in that. I'm just not.
I get
it. I still think my pants are a little tighter than I'd like them to be, even though I'm, you know, I'm not satisfied yet.
Yep.
If I could just get to the, you know, I love the body positivity movement for what it's done for women, because I feel like forever women have been looked at. Your job is to be pleasant for people to see. Like, that's what women are here for. I'm here to decorate your life.
Literally, that's what my mother would say. No one should have to look at my thighs. That was like the wording she used. Like, people should not have to look at cellulite thighs. And so that's what we internalize.
It's so sad. I mean, it's so sad. There is so much power that comes from saying, I am not here for your viewing pleasure. Like, that is not what I'm here for. But I have to honestly actually believe that though too. And knowing something and really believing it inside is not the same thing. And so like learning self-love it's great. I want to really love myself, but I've had to come to the point where I had to make a decision about what is that? What does that mean? And so for me, it means making good choices for myself, like I would make for someone else I love. So loving myself is not, you know, oh, I love myself. Look at me. It's right. I'm going to eat these vegetables. I'm going to get good sleep and I'm going to take a walk and I'm going to do the things for myself that I would want for my kids. What do I want my kids to do? I want them to eat healthy food. I want them to take good care of themselves and get good sleep. That's love for me. And I'm hoping that the longer I get to that, the more I do it, the more I'll start to feel that way about myself too.
And we're unraveling all that baggage that we've carried around with us, right?
Absolutely.
The shameful eating, the hiding the eating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I love the way you said that, you know, loving yourself, it's kind of like parenting yourself too, you know, and speaking to yourself the way you would to your daughters. And, you know, you would not buy nothing but candy bars for your daughters to eat. You wouldn't do that. And so,
unless I really wanted to clean their bedroom and then I might bribe them with a few.
But you provide them with nourishing food. You teach them about the importance of eating healthy foods. And so, yeah, when we can parent ourselves with love, that's really, really helpful.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you eat the candy bar.
That's right. And I've really had to focus on cutting out alcohol. Like that is, that's a slippery slope, man. I just got done reading Alcohol Explained. And that is, it's a slippery slope.
I haven't read that.
It's a really interesting read. And it changes the view, your viewpoint of it. And you watch people you love who are drinking alcohol and you're like, oh, maybe don't do that. I mean, it affects every process of your body. And I mean, basically the guy who wrote the book, his thought process and his opinion is that the longer people drink, no matter how little, at some point you're addicted.
Well, I do think that it is physically addictive. And, you know, I haven't had alcohol, 7 months now? No, I haven't had it. I just stopped drinking. That was it for me.
Yeah.
After my struggle with the whole idea of, but it's fun. Drinking's what grownups do. Wine is so good, you know, versus.
Jesus drank wine.
Right. They drink it in France.
Jesus drank water and wine.
Exactly.
This is good for me.
It seems it's that whole perception of it, but just realizing I feel like crap when I drink. Full stop. That is it. And, you know, reading in This Naked Mind, she talked about that. She's like, because in This Naked Mind, Annie Grace, the author, her thinking is any person could be addicted to alcohol if you drink it frequently. Your body becomes addicted to a substance, just like anything you're addicted to. My lips are addicted to chapstick, not chapstick, but you know what I mean, lip balm.
I do. Gloss.
I don't use chapstick brand, but I use lip balm all the time. But when it comes to the, you know, are you an alcoholic or are you addicted? Anybody could be addicted. She doesn't like the term alcoholic because she said you could stop the addiction to it. And it's just, you know, it's when you have a little bit every day or then your body becomes addicted, just like you said.
Absolutely.
And I was drinking a little bit of wine every day.
Sure. Especially if you're using it to, you know, deal with any kind of negative feeling that you're having. You know, if you're drinking because you had a stressful day at work or you're drinking because you're unhappy and you're trying to change your mood, you know, then your body has to counteract that. So anytime you drink, your body releases chemicals to like, because it's a depressant. And so it releases chemicals into your brain to counteract those depressants. And so that's why you're awake at 3 a.m. after you've been drinking.
Right. I mean, I would wake up and feel like my heart was pounding out of my chest. I'd been poisoned.
I mean, that's your body trying to, counteract the alcohol you just had. And I think back over my life and I think the most embarrassing moments of my life had alcohol involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really probably true. The poorest choices I've ever made certainly had alcohol involved.
Oh yeah. No doubt.
My first husband. Lots of alcohol involved.
Absolutely. You know, I make so much better choices. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I sleep better. Like it's just, fine for people to do it, but I feel like people just need to be aware. You just have to be aware.
It was a years long process for me. It was years long and it didn't used to affect my sleep till I went through menopause. I don't even know if it affected my sleep at all. before menopause, but something about my body not clearing alcohol well, just in general, which has always been true, but then menopause changed it even more. And so that was just it, you know.
It became
it took me years, though, to realize, why are you still doing this? Anyway, so I think it's a process for a lot of us. But I do think that drinking less alcohol is also a movement that's going on. Like, you can find mocktails. Yeah, me too. I love a mocktail.
I'm glad for my kids. I'm hoping that as they get older, there won't be a stigma attached to being someone who doesn't drink, because I feel like it's the only addictive substance that you tell people you don't drink, and they look at you like, well, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I think Annie Grace in her book said it's the only drug that you have to explain why you're not using it.
Yes, it's weird. Yeah. It's just weird.
Like, if people were smoking, I wouldn't think I had to smoke just because they were smoking, right?
Yeah. Excuse me, I don't drink alcohol. I only use cocaine. I mean, like, it's just...
Right. It's a valid choice. So everybody, if you're struggling with it, like I certainly was, with not wanting to quit because it was fun, or Kim, we feel so much better without it.
Yeah.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move, or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Yeah. Well, and just educate yourself. I mean, just sometimes you can't unknow something. Once you've read either, because I've read Annie Grace's book too, and it's once you know that information, you can't unknow it. And so even if it takes you a while to get to that place, you can't unlearn it. And so the more you drink, and then you have different thoughts about, what is this doing to me? it does not help me lose weight.
I used to cling to the whole red wine is good for you, and they drink it in France, and
sure.
Moderate drinkers live longer than teetotalers, or things like that. Yeah. And I'm like, look, see, proof. Anyway,
yep.
It's a personal journey, and a lot of us just want to feel better, and that's part of it. You know, as we're fasting, I think a lot of intermittent fasters realize you feel so good, you want to keep feeling good. What's keeping me from feeling good? Oh, it really was the wine. So I wish it wasn't. I wish I could have a glass of wine and feel fabulous and know that it was a great choice.
Yep. I wish when I had a glass of wine, I only wanted to have one glass of wine, but unfortunately, that's not usually how it worked for me.
Yeah.
And when I had wine, then I have to have a snack with it. And so that was about blowing the window. Blows it all up.
Every time I had wine, I had to have more snacks.
Mm-hmm.
I always ate more every time. So I get it. So at this point in your journey, you are really focusing on balancing, your body positivity and your self-love with, you do want to lose more weight. Because we need to feel good in our body. So that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You can both love your body and want to feel better in it.
Absolutely.
At the same time.
Absolutely. And getting to the point where when you weigh your body looks a certain way for a long time, people kind of associate you with that. And so as much as I would like to lose weight, I think there's also a part of me that's afraid of it a little bit too, because people start to notice and then you feel more on the spot. And because I was such a huge proponent of intermittent fasting to begin with, and I still do tell people about it, but I feel like I have to lose more weight before I really, people look at you like, well, you're doing intermittent fasting and you're not skinny. So,
right.
you haven't lost all this weight like your sister over here with that Wegovy or this person over here with her gastric bypass surgery. So I also am a little bit hesitant to some degree sometimes to share because I feel like my lack of weight loss is somehow going to reflect poorly on intermittent fasting. Even though I can say I feel better, you know, I still have a long way to go. So.
Well, and you know, let's unpack that a little bit and think about intermittent fasting. You are healthier, I'm certain, than you were prior to intermittent fasting. And, you know, I'm certain that it's going to make better changes long-term in your body than either surgery or a shot that has potential side effects. Thyroid cancer, I don't even know all the possible, you know, any kind of medication is going to have side effects, even like a Tylenol if you take too much or what, you know, some of these things are bad for your liver over time. So anything we're putting in our bodies, we have to think about. So I think you are a great spokesperson for intermittent fasting. You lost about 30 pounds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you've kept it off while continuing to eat the foods you love and not feeling restricted. Like there was some study that came out where they did an 8-hour eating window for people, the two groups, 8-hour eating window versus people who were counting calories eating all day. Now, the people in the 8-hour window were not counting calories. They were just told eat in an 8-hour window. So we had these two groups of people, the eat all day counting calories versus 8-hour eating window, just eat. They had similar results. So the headlines were intermittent fasting didn't work better than a low-calorie diet. Okay, well, let's unpack that. Well, they certainly didn't lose more weight in that period of time, but they also weren't counting calories. So to me,
that's right.
It did work because it allowed them to eat within 8 hours without being obsessed with what they were eating compared to this group that probably, like, I would be a lot more satisfied eating whatever I wanted in 8 hours than trying to do low calorie counting all day. So anyway, there's my soapbox. 100%.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true.
So you are a success story. Tell us about some of your non-scale victories.
Well, let's see. You know, I had a high A1C at a doctor's appointment a couple of years ago. It wasn't high, but it was on the borderline of type 2 diabetes where she was going to want to try and put me on medication. And I am not anti-medication, but I'm anti-medication when I can do something to make the change myself.
And I'm not anti-medication either. I want to make sure that everybody understands that. There are times you need medication for things and you take it. But that's if you can find a way to address it without medication,
that's right.
And you're not risking everything has a risk of side effects.
Absolutely true. But the older I get, the more I'm like, I watch my dad has had a 5-way bypass about 3 years ago. He drove his truck into the side of a house, passed out, drove his truck into a house and drove home, woke up, drove home. Whole long story, not worth going there. But he was not overweight, but he didn't take good care of himself.
Right.
And now he's on loads of medications and he, you know, you take this medication to counteract the side effects of this medication. Oh, and you need this one too. So he has a whole line of medications in his cabinet at home that my mom's like, you open the cabinet door and they fall out, like they're everywhere. And I don't want to be on that path. And so I'm not on any medication. I take nothing other than some magnesium at night and in the winter, some vitamin D because I feel like it really helps. But I don't want to get on that train.
So were you able to lower your A1C with your lower A1C came down? Good.
Yes. Yep. So that's healthy. I had my fasting insulin done in August and I think it was like a 5.1 or something.
Awesome. That's right there in the optimal range.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like even though I don't look the way that I'd like to look in my perfect body or my ideal body, whatever, I know that on the inside, I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
You know,
and by the way, optimal for fasting insulin is technically usually considered to be 2.5 to 5 and a 5.1 though. I mean, that could just be standard error of measurement. So I would consider 5.1 to be close enough to 5 to be still
well,
optimal,
and I'm still got a ways to go, but I don't have any of the information, any of that, you know, from 5 years ago when I was over 200 pounds, you know, I don't have anything to compare it to because I've never been I've just never paid attention to those kind of details. I'm always so interested when you do these stories and people are like, and when I was 23, I weighed blah, blah, blah. And when I was 26, I weighed blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't have any idea. No idea. But I know that I wanted to look different, like in my own head.
Right.
I think I was afraid of the scale because I didn't want to read whatever number was on there.
Right. I get it. Because then you would have to know it and think about it. And yeah, you didn't want to have that polluting your brain.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it was always there. It's always been like a backpack I carried around.
So, yeah, I understand that.
I carry that alone less.
That's good.
So that would be awesome.
Just think of what you're showing your girls. They see you eating food that you love until you're satisfied. And I would imagine you're not making negative comments about your body in front of them.
No. I think only one time I ever said anything, and it was in a PMS hysteric. Sometimes PMS hormones will make you have a moment. So
I may
have said something once before, but it was in a moment, and I'm hoping that it didn't stick in their brains.
I'm sure it did. It's what you say over time that you know, if you were always criticizing your body, that my mom said. I remember the things just because she said them so frequently, and those are the things I internalized and took on.
Yep. It sticks with you.
It does.
Yep.
So
it
you're
does.
Doing it's such a great job and showing
well,
them
you.
How to love. You are showing them body positivity and self-love and nourishing your body.
Well, that is good. Thank goodness.
Well, we got to break those negative cycles.
I'm sorry?
We got to break those negative cycles.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
That's so important. Well, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I think I would tell people, just don't give up. You know, I think you don't set some sort of pie in the sky, far off expectation. Just get started, stick with it, make decisions for yourself like you would make for someone else that you love. You know, make yourself a priority too. Put yourself on the who do I love list, and every day just do the best you can. And not every day is going to be perfect. And it's not a, you know, oh, well, I screwed that up. Now I have to start over, you know.
Right.
Because that has always been a very all or nothing. And that was a huge struggle for me. And that's one of the benefits of fasting and living an intermittent fasting lifestyle is the freedom that comes with that. There are no really screw ups. You don't need any do-overs. Nobody's going to look over your shoulder and go, well, you blew your macros for the day, or you've eaten five more calories than you should have had.
Right.
You got to start over. You know, I mean, just don't quit. Just get up. Make good choices every second of the day. I mean, that's all life is just a series of choices. And sometimes we veer off a little, and then the next choice we make brings us right back to the path where we need to be. And just don't quit, you know?
Yeah, every day is a fresh new start. So
that's exactly
you don't have to ever start over. You just wake up that day and you're doing it. Every day
that's
you're
right.
doing it.
That's exactly until you right.
eat.
And just feel proud of yourself for making that choice.
Right.
You know, feel proud of yourself and let go of the expectations of other people. You know, there are so many of those in the world, but you could talk to one person who'd tell you, well, you know, you should look like this. And then you go talk to someone else and they would tell you to look like this instead.
Well, it's true. Just like you said, your mom, people told her she needed to weigh more. Mm-hmm. It's like,
That's
how about
right.
y'all mind your own business, everybody?
That is exactly right. People need to really try hard. Before you open your mouth to criticize someone's body, go home, strip down, stand in front of the mirror, and then pick yourself apart. Do that instead before you decide
but
to.
But really, any kind of comment about somebody else's body that could be perceived negatively, do not make it.
No.
I remember coming home from college and I was in my mom's dance studio wearing tights, and I'd been away at college and I was in a dance class, and someone said, wow, you really put on some weight. And I think it was probably like 15 pounds, right? And I was like,
but- Yeah. I know. I mean,
it was another girl in the dance studio.
Yeah, it's terrible. Like, it's just, it's like stickers you can't peel off. Like, you know, people come along with their comments and they stick on there and they stick with you.
I remember where I was standing with, you know, all of that. We don't forget it. So everybody, life lesson of the day, keep those comments to yourself.
Yes, well, Kim, please. Or I'm going to start bending fingers back.
There you go. It has been so much fun to talk to you today, and thank you for sharing your story.
Well, thank you so much, Jen.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
It's win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying, lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT. Stream free on Amazon Freevee or Prime Video.
I have missed these Friday night dinners.
Hey, welcome to Harvey Graw.
At these family dinners,
gracious everyone,
dysfunction is served.
I can't have you all messing things up for my entire adult life.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we embarrass you?
Jump, jump, jump.
It's already better than I dared to dream.
They're extra.
Let the wild rumpus start!
Woo, 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 woo.
And they're embarrassing.
We know how hard it is to move on from the first girl that you ever slept with.
Not the first girl who I ever slept
with. Yeah, right. You're a regular lady killer.
I thought you said it was going to be boring here tonight.
No! I really hope it would be.
But they couldn't love each other more.
Surprise! It's Mom and Dad being totally normal.
Wow.
So, dinner next Friday, everyone?
Wouldn't miss for the world.
Dinner with the Parents, Season 1. Stream free only on Freevee.